The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome in, everybody. It's another edition of Need to Know here on TKR. Kip Kiefer with you, as per usual. We record on Monday mornings to get off to a fast start of a brand new week. Been plenty of developments, of course, since we visited last. I think we were just mentioning the government shutdown finally coming to an end after 40 some odd days of absolute nonsense, of people being inconvenienced, of people not being able to receive government services, the whole idea of essential employees against non-essential employees. I keep saying it show after show after show. If they're a non-essential employee, why do we have them working for our government? But that's just a larger question for another day. We did talk about last week on the show, if you joined us, and I hope you did. I need a written excuse if you did not. We talked about air traffic controllers not being considered essential. Who makes these decisions? If I'm going to the airport to get on a plane and I'm sitting there and fastening my seatbelt and putting my tray table in the secure and locked position and stowing my things under my seat, I sure as hell need an essential employee in the tower to tell us if we can proceed to the runway and take off without ramming into another plane or running off, into a ditch somewhere. So I still struggle with the concept of essential and non-essential, but again, that's well covered territory. And this ridiculous demonstration by Chuck Schumer and the old school Democrats who now are fearing for their political lives because there's a new sheriff in town on the left side of the aisle. And that is the progressives, better known as the Democratic Socialists, who won two major mayor's races in elections 2 weeks ago and are running major cities now. And this raise up periodically of a socialist movement is nothing new in this country. It happened in the late 1800s. Much of the New Deal from Franklin Delano Roosevelt, when he was elected in 1932, was based on socialist principles of government. We'll take care of you. You have nothing to worry about. And at the end of the day, it has been tried and it's proven to be an absolute failure wherever it's been tried. Because at the end of the day, people yearn for individual freedom and liberty. The government being smarter than you, making all of your decisions, deciding every place you can go, what you can own, what you can do for a living. If that's the world you want to live in, if that's the country you want to live in, America is the wrong choice. And ultimately, Americans will stand and say, we're not going that direction, despite the best efforts of the extreme left and the Democratic Socialists, my favorite term. Again, longtime listeners to the show know that's a contradiction of terms. There's no such thing as a Democratic Socialist. Socialism is not democratic. Socialism is not dependent on the will of the people or determined by the will of the people. Socialism is the government being in charge of every aspect of your life. And it always, always graduates to outright Marxism, which is socialism in the severe sense, and communism, which is this great collective where everybody ties for first place, but nobody ties with any abundance except for the elites that are actually running the show. So there's no real, everybody is in the same boat. We're all equal. It's total equity, kumbaya, hold hands and sing songs about how together we all are, because the controlling forces that are in the power positions always, always are going to have the complete upper hand in terms of their lifestyles and their opportunities. And everybody else has to grovel at the bottom. It's not everybody succeeding in peace and prosperity. It is abject poverty and lack of opportunity, and it results in tens of thousands or millions in China's case when Mao Zedong took over of death. So anyway, with all that being said, that is not the subject of today's program, but I just kind of wanted to set the stage as we roll into this week's Need to Know. I have a good friend in Atlanta, known her since high school. She's a very loyal supporter and follower. She likes to listen to my programs and does listen to this program weekly. Also not a huge sports fan, but follows all of our efforts on local radio in Birmingham, even though she lives over in Atlanta. She's been having some discussions with a new neighbor lately who has, as so many have, moved down from up in Connecticut or New Jersey or some godforsaken place up north, moved to Atlanta, bought a house next door, and they have a lot of discussions. They've had coffee. They're friendly, but she is unfortunately fled the taxation and the politics of the North and has brought herself and her family and her ideology to Atlanta. And you wonder why Georgia, a red state through and through for years and years, has two Democrat senators, because Atlanta is such a major population center. There are so many people that have migrated to Atlanta from other places and brought their politics with them. So they're voting for Democrats, which is a distressing. If you flee an area to go to another area, you don't try and reinvent what you've just left. But that's sadly what's happening in a lot of places in our country. Pockets, of course, in Texas and even Florida, although Texas and Florida so far have been bastions and strongholds for people that are rejecting the left-wing policies. But anyway, they got into a big discussion, and keep in mind, the left radicals, we'll call them, in the Democrat Party now, characterized by Mayor Kami Mondami, who is now getting ready to take office in New York City, our biggest city, and he's run on a platform of equality, and everything's going to be free, and rents are going to be affordable in New York, and you know, everybody vote for me, because everybody's going to get a free lunch, free bus rides, no more charge for buses, no more charge for public transportation, no more charge for child care. Everybody's entitled to universal child care on the government's dime. The old adage, there's no such thing as a free lunch, folks, there's never been a truer statement, because even if you don't have to pay for your lunch, it's not free. The food that you're eating has been produced somewhere and paid for. The person that puts your sandwich or your happy hour, or not happy hour, it's lunchtime, your lunch special together is being compensated for being back there. The dishwasher who has provided your plate has done his job. The person who's serving you, the manager of that business, it is not free. Somebody's paying for it somewhere along the line. So this whole thing about everything's going to be free, all these city services, all these great rent controlled new opportunities for housing, it's all a bunch of BS. It always is a bunch of BS, because it's not practicable. That's kind of an old-timey word. I stole that from Robert E. Lee at Gettysburg the first day of the pivotal battle of the Civil War. The Confederates had major advances on the Yankee lines, and it was getting to be dark. And Lee knew that he had an inferior force on the run. And this is just one of the Kip Kiefer side stories you're going to have to endure. But he wrote a note and sent it up to the commander on the field and said, continue to press the attack if it is practicable. So I love that word. And of course, the commander at the time at the battle, he decided it was not practicable because it was dark and his troops were exhausted. So he did not press the attack. They had a chance to rout the Yankees, to completely take the high ground. Overnight, the North reassembled, took control of the Round Tops, the mountains around the city of Gettysburg. And of course, it led to the South being decimated the next 2 days, and particularly on the third day at Pickens Charge. So practicable is the key word here. This system that Mondami and all the left is trying to perpetrate is not practicable. The new mayor of Portland, Oregon, who ousted the Democrat leftist mayor, but he was not a Democratic socialist. Her name is Katie Wilson. And Katie has run as a Democrat socialist, and she's promising everything under the sun is free. And it's going to be just so wonderful to be in Portland, where, you know, the citizens are all going to be, you know, getting the all of this this great stuff from their government. Again, it's just fantasy land. I was shocked to see what her background is. She was from back in the Northeast, from somewhere in New York. And take a wild guess what both of her parents do for a living. If you guess college professors, ding, 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 you're the winner, because this is exactly what our system now is yielding. In 1978, under President Jimmy Carter, the government began a brand new federal Department of Education. It was the first step, and it was an intentional step, into getting the federal government involved in the education system throughout the entire chain of the system. I'm talking from kindergarten all the way up through the university system, and really transforming through federal guidelines and the infusion of all these radical teachers unions, basically becoming a far left wing organizing branch under the auspices of the federal government to change the way education is presented, to get away from stressing the greatness of America, from teaching how America works. The average person on the street cannot even name the three branches of government, cannot even name how many senators each state has, how many House of Representatives persons in Congress you have, or how that's determined. People are not educated on history. That's why there are young people voting for socialist candidates. They have not been educated as to the downside and the impracticality of this whole approach. So this plan has worked beautifully in the, let's see, 1978. So in the 40 some odd years, coming up on 50 years that this has been in place, they have achieved remarkable results, completely infected all the way down to grade school. All of this wanting to teach small children about gender differences and how many different genders there are, and how if you feel like you're a girl when you're a little boy, you can make that decision and make it happen. All of these leftist kind of, you know, chaotic policies have come to fruition. But the main thing they've done is by becoming teachers have become activists now. They are prepared by the university system to go in and start getting these jobs and start indoctrinating and brainwashing children to believe that their country is not great. As I learned in my day, learned all of the history. I'm still just so engrossed by history. You can't understand where you are unless you understand where you've been. And that's being deprived of our children these days, because they are no longer educators. They are activists. They are trying to groom your child for this great education of finding out that their country is racist and and cruel and evil. America is not the greatest country ever founded. It is abject, racist and restrictive, and nobody has opportunities except for the very rich. And the people that are selling this snake oil are some of the richest people in the country. The Democrat Party has transformed from the party of the working man and for the underdog into the party of monster corporations and rich silver spoon families, fourth, fifth generation people that built this country, made fortunes for their family, and now their current family members, three or four generations removed, are so elite and so Ivy League educated and so enlightened by all of this leftist crap that they are perpetrating and financing all of the things that are happening in this country. So it's interesting. So back to the neighbor and my friend, my friend, as they discussed, And this movement, all liberalism, is predicated on one central foundation. Instead of thinking, they feel. I feel like it's so cruel right now what's happening with ICE and getting people out of the country. It's just so cruel that we're torturing people and making immigrants so fearful that they might go to work and never get to come home and see their family again. I feel so sad for these people, and I feel so outraged that our government has become so authoritarian under such a horrible man as President Donald J. Trump. They feel that this is a terrible direction to go. They don't think, they don't reason, they don't understand. And I've been preaching this message for weeks, of course, on this show and to everybody that I have a chance to talk to. So my friend had her listen to a passage of one of my recent shows where I talk about the fact that we live in a nation of law and order. And, you know, when the statement is made, immigrants are fearful. Folks, again, they're not immigrants. Immigration is a legal process. The overwhelming chances are that everybody listening to this show, because I'm certainly included, I wouldn't be here if my descendants had not come from Czechoslovakia on a boat, landed in New York Harbor at Ellis Island, waited all day to be processed and stamped and given the permission to enter the country, and then go through all of the processes to become full-fledged American citizens. That's immigration. Sneaking across the border, coming in with the border being thrown wide open by Joe Biden, with the enticement of getting free stuff. We're back to the free lunch, that it's not free, everybody. You're paying for it. I'm paying for it. Tony Curry's paying for it. Everything that we're giving away for free to our immigrants, who are not immigrants because they're not here legally. They have gone through none of the processes. They have not gone through any of the requirements to become citizens. And yet they're getting a full slate of services and, in a lot of cases, rights of citizens that they don't deserve. I've exposed on this show in recent weeks that during the Biden administration, the dirty little secret was, as all of these people are pouring into the country, they were able to scramble behind the scenes, and it's documented, registering or actually issuing to almost 4 million people Social Security numbers. You can't issue Social Security numbers to people that are not legally in the country, because guess what they can do then? They can go get a driver's license. They can go register to vote. Read the Constitution. Illegal citizens cannot vote. It's against the law. And as I keep saying, the law is not multiple choice. You can't pick and choose. You can't go, well, you know, and they have the gall. They have the gall to say, well, Donald Trump is just violating the Constitution every day of his presidency. He's a dictator. He's doing just what he wants. On the other hand, they're projecting their own behavior because they completely ignore the Constitution that says illegals in the country do not have the rights of citizens and they cannot vote. So to say, this is so terrible that these immigrants have to be fearful. Well, they need to be fearful because they're breaking the damn law. And folks, maybe I sound like a hard, unfeeling guy. I have feelings. I can promise you that. So anyway, after she listens to my point on that, that the fact of the matter is these people, by being here illegally, are violating the law, thereby are criminals. That's what it boils down to. And we live in a country where if they would have won elections, they can change the laws. The law is on the books, the Constitution. You can change it by introducing amendments. But the bottom line is that's just the facts, that these are not immigrants that are being removed. These are people breaking the law, and you can't pick and choose what's convenient. And they're picking and choosing because the convenience for them is they're turning these people into voters who are totally dependent on the government for their survival. So they know they're going to get their votes, which should not even be allowed to be cast because they're not citizens. I keep going around and around on this. So the lady says to my friend, well, you know, that's all fine, but this guy, he is way right. And I told her when she told me that, not the neighbor, I'm talking about my friend. I've never spoken to the neighbor. I said, well, thank her for that very nice compliment. She goes, well, I don't think she meant it as a compliment. I said, well, I know what she meant, but damn right I'm right. And that's just the facts of the matter. I am right because I'm correct. I'm not right in terms of ideology. Being right now, if you say, well, he's way right, he's a right-wing extremist. But that, again, is just the projection of the extreme left of the Democrat Party, basically shining the mirror on themselves and projecting that image to anybody who disagrees with them. Because ideologically, if being right, being conservative, that's considered to be a terrible thing now by the people that are trying to create all this upheaval in the country. Anybody who calls me conservative, conservatives means you don't want any change. You don't want any updates. You want to live in some kind of bubble that never evolves. I am not conservative. I take chances. I go out on limbs. I do things that are way, way past conservative. So all of these terms that have become equated with evil and with hatred, Charlie Kirk took a bullet because he, the guy who shot him says, well, some hate just can't be negotiated with. Charlie Kirk stood for, as I continue to say, God, country, family. If that's right wing, if that's conservative, if that's hateful, God help us, because, you know, and the other reason that I'm absolutely right and damn right I'm right is because in America, it's a First Amendment privilege and right that you have. And there's that word again, right. It's your right to be right because your opinion and who you are and what you've concluded is not wrong. It's not counter. If you take a position and you are steadfast and you dig into that position, that's your right because you have a constitutional right to your opinion and your freedom of expression and freedom of speech. So if I state my opinion, I'm absolutely right. Just like you state your opinion, even if it's counter to mine, you're absolutely right because that's your right to do so. And right, I wish I was getting paid by how many times I say right in this particular soliloquy. So Let's just boil it down to this. The reason that right now, if you are considered way right or conservative, the reason that that means you are standing for evil and hate is because you are in disagreement with the people that are on the complete other side that believe that if you espouse those things I talked about, the founding principles, God, country, family, if you take a stance for those things, which to me is my right to do, then you are against what they believe. And if you're against what they believe, you're a hate monger. You're a terrible person. Again, I don't condemn anybody who thinks opposite of me. It's their right to do so. That's the difference in this struggle right now. People on our side, as much as they want to project that we've got some kind of underground movement, some kind of racist, homophobic, xenophobic, every phobic word you can come up with. Anybody who tries to sell that banana is just lying to you, because I don't hate anybody. You have a right to have your opinion. Even if I think it's wrong, that's irrelevant, because you're right. And that's your right to be that way. And it's your right to be wrong, even if I don't agree with you. And that's really the basic divide, because if I state my opinion and people say, well, he's way right, which really means I don't agree with him, they don't leave it at that. They don't like me. They hate me for not agreeing with them. I have to not only support their right to have an opinion, I have to celebrate that. I'm supposed to go to gay pride parades and cheer loudly when people parade down the street. I'm supposed to, go and enjoy pregame warmups at athletic competitions, playing with music by, LGBTQT, however many letters there are, artists, while the players have to wear some kind of rainbow jerseys to show their support. A lot of players have said, I'm not wearing that because it violates my religious beliefs. That's another right they have. But in this society, if you don't embrace and celebrate and just, be so proud to be on board with and join the whole pride issue of somebody whose behavior wants to be counterculture or anti-founding principles or whatever. And again, I support people that want to do whatever they want to do. It's their lives, but I don't have to participate and I don't have to celebrate their choice. They sure as hell don't celebrate mine. They hate me for my choices because I am an American who believes in this country, who believes in its potential. You won't ever hear me call myself a MAGA guy, because MAGA is Make America Great Again. And I think America has been great at times in our history, have been beyond great, have been exceptional, unbelievable, extraordinary. We've already liberated the continent of Europe twice and saved their old school asses in two different world wars. America has risen up, done some amazing things, and has been great in many ways. But I reject the again, because I think it makes the statement make people once again lock in on this right conservative theme that Make America Great Again indicates that America's always been great until now. And that's not what it is. To me, it's just MAG. It's Make America Great, because America has just scratched the surface of the potential of what it can be. And America, emphasizing free enterprise, expanding opportunities, giving everybody a chance to find their niche and get their little piece of the action here, is the greatest system ever conceived. You don't want government running the show. Government sucks at everything they touch. Ronald Reagan's the greatest statement of all time: America is a country with a government. It can never be allowed to be the other way around. And that's what these people want. They want America to be a government that has a country, and it's backwards. That's not what it's going to be, and it can't be that, or it's not America anymore. And if you want to live in a third world country that's a great global citizen, by all means, go vote for Democrat socialists who will promise you everything and deliver nothing, because we've got about I don't know how many centuries civilization has been around. I didn't prepare for the exact number, but it's been tried and tried and tried again. And it's a miserable failure everywhere it's been tried, with just traumatic, disastrous results. So that's what I wanted to say about that today. Yes, I'm way right. I'm way right as far as being right, because everybody in this country has the privilege through our Constitution and our founding principles to express their opinion, have free speech to be able to announce their opinion. And anybody who criticizes me for my beliefs is way off base, because I don't give that back. I salute their right and would fight for their right to give their opinion as Americans. Now, people in the country illegally, you see protests. ICE is in Charlotte this week. They've already arrested on the first day this weekend some 80 criminal immigrants that have violated different things and broken a lot of laws. And with the revolving door in all these liberal cities, they're right back on the street to create more turmoil. And their big protest yesterday. And there are people out there parading around with the flags from the nations they came from. This is the difference between my family that immigrated here in 1912, landed at Ellis Island from the Czech Republic. Well, it wasn't the Czech Republic then. It was just Czechoslovakia. But when they arrived, they came here not intending to look for a free lunch, not intending to continue to be Czechoslovakians and colonize with people of their particular background. They came here for one purpose and one purpose only: to become Americans. They dreamed of being in a land of the free and the home of the brave, the land of opportunity, the land of just unlimited resources and possibilities. They dreamed of being Americans. They aspired to be Americans. They raised their kids to be Americans. My great uncle died in World War II on a hill in Italy, tried to fight the Germans, ordered his troops to evacuate, but stayed behind to keep radio contact with the incoming air support, knowing that air support was going to be concentrated where he was positioned, which basically he knew he was going to die by making that order to save that valuable territory they were trying to hold. Ralph Fisher, the son of immigrants who raised him to be proud of his country, be an American citizen, a captain in the U.S. Army, died in Italy in 1944 in the late stages of World War II. And that's the difference now, because you get these people show up at these rallies. They've got Nicaraguan flags. They've got Mexican flags. They've got unbelievable Palestinian flags. Here's a country that gives you complete religious freedom, and yet we are parading around in unison with and calling for free Palestine and all these things. A religion so restrictive in America, where we have freedom of religion, these people do not want to acclimate and become American citizens, because it violates their religious belief that if you don't believe as they do, and this is a microcosm of everything I'm talking about, in the Muslim faith, if you don't, in the hardcore part of the Muslim faith, if you don't believe as they do, then you are an infidel and you do not deserve to live. And in another sense, that is a perfect description of what I was talking about. If you don't agree with them, if you're not totally on board with what they believe, you are not you are not required, you are not authorized to have an existence and beliefs of your own. And we've got so many of those kind of people in this country right now. And these other people that have been brainwashed by our education system are parading around and defending that particular ideology. That in a nutshell is what you've got to think about as we continue to watch this cultural war flare up. And it has happened all over the world throughout the centuries. This whole idea that, that if it's not totally equal, if there's competition, if life depends on and your success depends on your hard work and your resourcefulness and your finding your niche where you fit, that's not fair because it doesn't come out equally. And that's just that's the system we live in. We live in a competitive system, but there are opportunities if you look hard enough. I told you 2 weeks ago about the boom in Texas right now with the weather being so volatile that you have to wait like 8 months to get a generator installed with all the requirements that are necessary. It's built this tremendous kind of business that's in unbelievable demand. And this is happening everywhere. Donald Trump is bringing $17 trillion worth of investment into this country for high-tech plants and all kinds of expanded business. 2026 is going to be an amazing year in this country because all the seeds that are being sown now are going to come to fruition. The American dream is alive and well, folks. You just have to find where you fit and be give it your all, because there's still not a better system in the world. And anybody who thinks government needs to be everybody's daddy and government needs to decide everybody's fate is really, really delusional. You can have a right, and I'll support your right to believe that, but I'm just telling you, read some history books, acquaint yourself with how that's gone every place it's ever been tried. It's been a miserable failure, and that's what I make my decisions on: common sense. The death of common sense in this country is appalling. Get back to making your own decisions, analyzing your own facts and data, and we're all going to be better off. You have a right to be anything you want. I'll support that right. I'll fight for that right. But don't criticize me for having my beliefs, which may be counter to yours, but it's nothing against you personally. It's what I believe, and I have the right to believe and have the ideology that I have, no matter how you want to label me or what you want to call me. That is the right answer, and that is why the neighbor was absolutely right. Damn right I'm right. I'm Kip Kiefer on TKR. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.